With the behemoth hurricane hitting, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and President Biden put aside their political differences, at least for now. The White House tweeted about, quote, continued close cooperation between the two on storm preparations.
And on Fox News last night, DeSantis said he senses that the Biden administration wants to help Florida.
When people's lives and their property are at risk like this, you know, we all need to work together regardless of party lines.
But still, sometimes these events are looked at through the political prism. So let's convene a political strategist roundtable, shall we? From two battleground states and elections just 6 weeks away. Yvette Simpson is a Democrat who is CEO of the group Democracy for America. She's based in Ohio. Hi, Yvette.
Hi, great to be here.
Good to have you. And we welcome Lorna Romero Ferguson, a former top staffer for Senator John McCain, the late John McCain, and Governor Jan Brewer in Arizona. She now runs her own communications firm. Welcome, Lorna.
Hello, thanks for having me.
And, you know, let us start with this, because we remember how President Bush gave a shout-out to someone that people felt was completely undeserved during Katrina, the great job brownie. It was not, and that was politically devastating. Of course, devastating for New Orleans, but devastating for Bush. So Biden and DeSantis putting politics aside for now, but this is a big moment for DeSantis facing re-election in 6 weeks, talk of an expected run for president. What's at stake for him, Laura?
Well, I mean, this is a great opportunity for Governor DeSantis. I mean, he's been on the national spotlight for more of the conservative element, you know, within the Republican Party, but with some of his policies and for going after Biden and Democrats. And now this is an opportunity for him to be on the national stage as a governor and leading not on a political issue, but leading an unfortunate natural disaster that's coming to his state. And so the way that he moves forward can really position him for what he does next with a potential presidential run. So he has a really great opportunity to introduce himself to a new segment of the voting population in the nation and also show his ability to lead and govern.
Yeah.
Now, for those who have been paying attention to Governor DeSantis, he has been hammering President Biden on several issues: migrants crossing the border, crime, high inflation. This morning, President Biden had this storm-related warning to oil and gas executives.
Do not. Let me repeat, do not. Do not use this as an excuse to raise gasoline prices or gouge the American people.
Now, gas prices have moderated in recent weeks. Yvette, is that going to be a big factor for Biden and the Democrats in these midterms?
You know, I don't know if it is anymore. You know, we've gotten into this, you know, conversation around the extreme nature of Republicans, from abortion to don't say gay to banning books. And I think, you know, when you think about this moment with DeSantis and Biden reminding folks, first, want to make sure we send out love to all the folks impacted by the storm.
Right.
But we have to remember that DeSantis has a long history of playing politics with people's lives. We talked about the migrant crisis, but also during COVID-19, the way he exploited Floridians and made that political. He rallied against the rescue plan, which is now investing lots of critical money in infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also minimized climate change. And so at this point, I think for Floridians, gas prices and how that's going to be impacted should be the last thing they're worried about. It should be about the fact that Biden is showing up, even though DeSantis has proven to make politics of people's lives.
But Yvette, I mean, it was a famous Democrat years ago who said it's the economy, stupid. Nationwide, gas prices and inflation, shouldn't that be top of mind?
It was until the Republicans, I think, made, you know, privacy an issue, put women and people who love women on the chopping block. And abortion has been the rallying cry across all demographics so far, especially among women, younger voters, and voters of color. And so if we had not had that, if Dobbs had not been decided, I think we would have a referendum on inflation and the economy. And that doesn't always favor Democrats, although I don't think we do as bad as people expect.
And Lorna, I want to give you a chance to jump in here.
I respectfully disagree with Yvette. I mean, inflation in the economy is still a huge issue, especially here in Arizona, which, as you guys mentioned, is a battleground state this upcoming cycle. Yes, abortion plays a factor in the recent Dobbs ruling, but the number one issue, especially for swing voters in this state and in competitive districts, is the economy and inflation and who they think is going to be able to help Arizona families get get out of this mess. And so if there's a situation, you know, I agree, increased gas prices probably isn't going to be top of mind for Floridians as they're dealing with damage in their communities. But if gas prices increase across the nation and other people are feeling it outside of Florida, that's going to be a top issue going into November, and that's going to impact Democrats, and it's going to benefit Republicans.
Okay, there's Lorna, our Republican. Yvette, I'm going to take you up again, our Democrat. And let's do that. Let's zero in on Ohio, where you are, where Congressman Tim Ryan, the Democrat running for Senate, hasn't been eager to campaign with President Biden. A member station WOSU found him campaigning with urban farmers in Toledo this month. We're going to hear something we were told we were going to hear. It's the phrase middle class. Let's listen.
And these are the communities that have been forgotten. You know, how do we stop the bad trade deals? How do we reinvest in rebuilding the middle class in these industries of the future?
And Yvette, polls show Ryan slightly ahead of the Republican candidate J.D. Vance, who has former President Trump's endorsement. So we've been talking about what it's about. What is this race in Ohio about?
You know, I think what Tim Ryan is making it about is trying to go back to the old messaging around workers first. And I think that's something that worked a long, long time ago. But I worry that he's not, I think, vilifying J.D. Vance and associating him with Donald Trump enough. I don't think he's talking about, again, these critical issues like abortion enough, which are galvanizing. I think he needs to remember that Democrats elected Obama twice and that there's still a lot of Democrats and independents. If you have a strong Democratic message, he will be with you. He's not done enough to engage Black and brown voters. There's tons of Latino voters in the state of Ohio who still are not registered, even though they favor Democrats when they do vote. So I think there's a lot of opportunity that he hasn't taken advantage of. I do think this I'm beyond politics, I'm playing both sides, I voted with Trump on trade, is going to backfire. We tried that in 2018 and 2020, and we could not reclaim our power as Democrats in the state of Ohio.
And Lorna, how do you see the key issues playing out in the state?
Yeah, I mean, and there's a bunch of different dynamics in Arizona. We obviously have a very high profile and contested U.S. Senate race and then also a gubernatorial race. With the U.S. Senate, I mean, Mark Kelly is really, I mean, as the incumbent Democrat, is really leading the conversation on the economy and inflation and public safety, which we know are the leading issues for the swing voters that he's going to need in order to be successful in the state. His attacks, though, on Blake Masters, it's all about abortion, right? Showing that he's an extremist and trying to show that he's kind of a flip-flopper when it comes to his position on abortion. But when it comes to Mark Kelly and what the message he's trying to show Arizona voters in terms of what he's going to do for his constituents, it's really focused on the economy. And it's a lot different than what we're seeing in some of the other down-ballot races in the state in terms of his strategy and approach. Right. But again, when it comes down to what's going to matter for Arizona voters, it's the pocketbook issues.
Well, you know, I got to ask you about that, Lorna, because you say Mark Kelly is, you know, veering one way, but Blake Masters scrubbed his website of his support for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. You say Donald Trump hasn't been a presence there. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting dynamic in Arizona because both Biden and President Trump statewide are not well-liked, right? I mean, they have their segments within, you know, Biden has, you know, segments within the Democrat Party that like him, and Donald Trump, same thing with Republicans. But when you're looking at a statewide voter population, both are incredibly unliked. And so, you know, Blake Masters and other Republicans who made it out of the primary realized shortly thereafter that, yeah, being tied to Donald Trump in a primary was a winning strategy for them, not for statewide. And so that's why you saw a number of them remove Donald Trump's name and endorsement from their website. You saw Blake Masters immediately come out with an ad saying he was an independent voice for mm-hmm. Arizona. Completely different tone right. and tenor than you'd seen for the prior year on all of his TV ads, because people saw the polling and saw it's actually, it's not beneficial.
I just want to say we have a candidate in New Hampshire who suddenly decided, actually, I think the election did happen. So that is happening across the country. Scott?
Now, the key in many states, of course, is Latino voters, where Republicans in some places have made some gains. In Ohio, Republican J.D. Vance talked about this dynamic to Fox News over the summer.
The more we lean into protecting the southern border, the more that we lean into giving our police officers the ability to protect our communities, the more Hispanics come to our side.
Yvette, I mean, this is historically a key demographic for Democrats, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, one, Latino voters are not a monolith, just like white voters and all types of Black and brown voters. Like, we're not all the same. And Latino voters are no exception. I think Democrats tend to get more play. We do better with Latino voters, especially young Latino voters and women. And I think that's a great opportunity. I think where we're going to struggle on the economy here is that Latino voters care a lot about pay, and Democrats haven't met the day on increasing wages and health care and other issues that are kitchen table issues that matter to Latino voters in the state of Ohio. I still think engaging non-registered eligible voters, there's over 200,000 that have not been engaged, is the strategy. And I know that's the same in Arizona, where a significant amount of Latinos surveyed have said no one's contacted them at all about the midterm election.
Okay, Lauren, we have less than a minute, but I have to ask you, we said a lot of Republican candidates changing their mind on things. Not Carrie Lake, who's tied in polls with the Democrat Katie Hobbs for the race for governor there. She still thinks Trump won. Do you think that helps or hurts? And I have to ask you quickly.
You know, I mean, it is what it is at this point, right? I think what Carrie Lake has done since the primary, she hasn't really talked as much about it, right?
Yeah.
She's focused on other issues. What's the benefit to Carrie Lake is that her Democrat competitor, Katie Hobbs, isn't running a great campaign. So it comes down to candidate quality for the Democrats, and
okay,
this race is Carrie Lake's to lose.
I'm going to wrap it up there. Lorna Romero-Ferguson, Republican strategist based in Arizona. Yvette Simpson, the Democrat based in Ohio. Thank you to you both.
Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.